doctrine of the end times. And we have said that it is a fundamental doctrine in the Christian faith. It is something that the scripture speaks about right from the beginning of the Bible. It speaks about a day that is coming, that when God will put everything to rights and that he will deal with all. There's going to be a general resurrection of the dead, and that is part of the this doctrine of the end times. And as we said, when we talk about the resurrection, there is this physical rising again to life of those bodies who have died. So these very bodies of ours that we can feel, these very bodies will one day rise from the dead. And the reason, of course, for us dying is because we receive the wages. The scripture says the wages of sin is death. But praise God, there is this gospel promise. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And friends, the last time that we looked at this, we tried to look at very generally, and all these studies are very, very general. We looked at what the scripture teaches about the resurrection. What are some of the facts, some of the characteristics of the resurrection that the Bible speaks about? And we highlighted five things. We could talk about other things, but we said that it is something, first of all, that the Old Testament teach, but also something that is taught very explicitly in the New Testament. And that we talked about the fact that it is this doctrine of the resurrection is something that is physical, of the body. It's not a spiritual resurrection of the soul. And then fourthly, we said that it includes both the righteous and the wicked at the same time, this resurrection of the body. And then we said that the resurrection will take place on the last day, the day of Christ's second coming. And that's why it is linked with the doctrine of the end times. But friends, there are those who might pass literature, you might listen to, you might see, they're especially those of a very strong dispensational view, or the Seventh-day Adventist even, those who have very strong premillennial views. And again, we are looking at the classic views of these. There are various shades and various views amongst them. But you might think, and you might receive something, maybe, or a tract, or read something, as I saw a pamphlet about it, in which I saw that there were several texts that were listed as proofs for the resurrection of the righteous taking place before the resurrection of the wicked. So the Christians will rise before the wicked. And the texts that are referred to, one of them is found here that we read together in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22 and 23. So the text was, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. This is one of the texts that they say, that there is this order, that first there is going to be a resurrection of believers. And then after a long period of time, usually they say literal 1,000 years, then there is going to be the resurrection of the unconverted people. And then another text that they would use is 1 Thessalonians 4 and verses 15 through to 70, where I will read this to you. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. The apostle says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So they say this is teaching that the Christians will come to life before the unconverted people, and the unconverted people will not rise at the same time or on the same day. And then there are other passages, such as we have read before in Revelation 20 and verses 4 to 6. Again, I'll read it to you, where it says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed are and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Well, friends, we need to ask a number of questions when we think about these passages, when we are challenged in this way, that, well, there's going to be two separate kinds of resurrections. There is the resurrection of the righteous, and then there is going to be, at some other time, the resurrection of the wicked, as they would challenge us about. Well, if you think about it, if you ask yourself some questions about these texts, for example, 1 Corinthians 15 that we read together, you ask yourself, well, how can I explain this? How can you really explain why in that passage is referring to the order of Christ's resurrection, who is the head, and that of the Christ church, his body, not to the righteous arising at a different time from the wicked? It's, the context of it is not talking about merely talking about the general resurrection. It's focusing on what happens as Jesus Christ rose from the dead as our head. It's focusing on the believer. And that's why there is that is said. And you have to look at the context all the time. What is the purpose here? What is it teaching here? Or in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 15 to 17 that we read, can you explain why in that passage is referring to the righteous who have previously died, who shall arise from their graves before all the believers, before all the Christians who will be taken into glory? It's not to the righteous arising at a different time from the wicked. And there is that word that is we read together about prevent, shall not prevent them. That means shall, that's the old English. It means that shall not go before. This meaning here is that the saints who are alive on earth at the last day shall not go before the saints who shall arise from the dead. Together, both shall ascend to be with the Lord forever. Or in Revelation 20 that we read together, can you explain how that passage is referring to the spiritual resurrection of the soul and not the physical resurrection of the righteous at a different time from that of the wicked? We dealt with that. How this is a reference to the spiritual resurrection at conversion, that a person who is made alive, is made born again by the Spirit of God, have risen, spiritually speaking. So we need to answer these kinds of questions. We need to think through these kinds of questions. Can you list some verses from the Word of God which clearly teach if it refers to both the righteous, the Christians, and the non-Christians, the wicked, those who are condemned? It would physically arise together. Can you think about some passages? Well, I mentioned some before. For example, in Acts 24, verse 15, where we read in Acts 24, 15, "And have hoped toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. So there is no distinction made or separation made between the just and the unjust in the sense of the timing of things. Or our Lord Jesus Christ says in John chapter 5 and verses 28 and 29, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice." So it says the hour is coming, the time is coming. There is going to be a time, a specific time, and the dead. It doesn't distinguish between if they're Christians or non-Christians. The dead, all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So the Bible doesn't distinguish the timing of it. It doesn't separate the timing. There's one day that the Lord will come, one day that all will be made alive and must be brought before the Lord. I read about a young soldier many years ago that saw something, and these passages became real to him. He understood what they meant. He said this. This soldier said, "I observed how the barracks were perfectly still in the early morning hours. Everyone was deathly quiet, for all were sound asleep. But suddenly the piercing call of the trumpet rent the silence, and all the dead," quote unquote, "dead soldiers sprang to life. The barracks were suddenly a hive of activity." And then he says, "This example spoke to me of the great trumpet call. When the angel's piercing call shall sound, the dead shall hear and be raised. The silent graveyards shall spring to life and be full of activity. What an awakening this shall be." See, God's people, God's saints shall experience two resurrection miracles. The spiritual resurrection that has happened to them, and then this physical resurrection. But the unrighteous, the non-Christians, only have one resurrection. They are not spiritually made awake unto Jesus Christ in a saving way. The Bible speaks, and we didn't read it, but maybe we need to have our finger in 1 Corinthians 15. In verse 22, the Bible very clearly speaks to us of the great resurrection scene as taking place in a moment, it says, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, it says. "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible." What is this talking about? It's saying that when Jesus Christ shall return on the clouds of heaven, as he went up, he will also come unto us. When that final day and moment of life on this present earth has arrived, when time shall be no more, then all the dead shall be raised and the living shall be changed from their, the scripture refers to this mortal body into their immortal bodies. This mortal body, this body that corrupts, this body that is dying, into a body that never dies. So what does the Bible tell us about the resurrected body that we shall possess throughout a never-ending eternity? Have you thought about your bodies? What will it be like? What kind of bodies will you have? Well, the Bible informs us that a person's resurrected body shall be the same body as he possessed before. You think about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? It was the same body that was raised. And so our bodies will be like unto his glorious body. So the Bible tells us that this body that we have, this body that we possess, it will be raised. It is a miraculous thing that takes place. We cannot fully understand it, how our bodies will turn into dust, how the worms will eat away at our bodies, and they die. Maybe a bird will catch that worm that has eaten, which is a horrible thought, but anyway. That bird catches the worm that has eaten part of your body and then flies away somewhere else. And then that bird is eaten by something else. It's all scattered all over the world, the molecules of our bodies. But that's the great miracle that will take place. God will bring our bodies back to life, will bring every molecule, creates all the various parts of our bodies in a miraculous fashion. And that's why this is something that is miraculous. And this is why the rational mind of man doesn't take it in. And that's why many, many within churches even, they say, no, we don't accept this. This is too great. Since we don't see it happen, then it could not have happened. And yet we read in the scriptures that how our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead the stinking body of Lazarus. Lazarus's body had already started to decompose. And his sister said that he stinks. And yet the Lord brought him to life. And he wasn't stinking. He wasn't smelly. So the Christian and the non-Christian's body, our future body, shall be a resurrected body, a restored body. Not a newly created body. It's not from new material. And our Lord Jesus Christ said in John 5 and verse 28, as we read before, marvel not at this. Don't be amazed at this. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Those very bodies will come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And friends, while our resurrected bodies will be the same bodies in essence, they will receive new and different characteristics. They're the same, and yet not the same, we could say. They will receive something new, something that's different of the resurrected bodies of the Christians. The Bible tells us this in Philippians 3 and verses 20 and 21. Philippians 3 and verses 20 and 21. And so you're wondering, what? After I die, what will happen to my body? After I die, on that final day, what will I appear like? Will people notice me? Will people recognize me, I should say? What kind of strengths would I have? What kind of powers would I have? What can I do? In what ways will I be different? In Philippians 3 and verses 20 and 21, we read, "For our conversation is in heaven." That is our life. Is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. So we are looking to heaven for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. So he's referring to this body of ours, however healthy it is. You might be in the prime of your life, and yet the Bible calls that body vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. That body of yours, if you are a Christian, if you are a child of God, it will be a glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So the Lord Jesus Christ is going to subdue even your body to himself. Your body right now, it does its own thing, it seems, at times. It is warring against the spirit. It is, you wish you didn't have certain temptations, but your flesh desires it. And yet that day, even your body will be brought into subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. That is in connection to your body. And where we read in 1 Corinthians 15, it informs us that the resurrected bodies of the Christians, of the saints, will be different from their earthly bodies. We praise God for that. You're so thankful, I'm sure, that your body will be different in a number of senses, in some number of ways, in some wonderful ways. There are certain things you and I will try to do to fix things, and we make it worse. God fixes things and makes it wonderful. And we praise God for that. So let me, in the time that we have, let me very briefly talk about the differences, the wonderful things that's going to happen to you. If you're a Christian, wonderful things that will happen to you. First of all, the Christian's resurrected bodies will be perfectly incorruptible and immortal. Not corruptible and mortal as their earthly bodies were. So your bodies will be perfectly incorruptible and immortal. Our present bodies, this body of yours, you can feel it right now. You're aging. Our children are growing. We have all kinds of age-related issues. We are becoming infected all the time. The millions of bacteria in your gut and all kinds of things that are on your skin that only microscopes will show, the stuff that's eating you up and you don't know it, and then your body, your cell is recovering itself. There's an article, amazing article earlier on that somebody sent it to me, and I should probably share it with everybody, of how your body is creating itself constantly. Isn't it something like every 3 years you have got a new body? Your whole body has remade itself. It's an amazing thing. But all of that is telling you that there is the body is coming under so much pressure, and God has designed us in such a way that we are constantly repairing ourselves. And we don't even know it. We are not conscious of it. And this disease is coming into your life, and the suffering, the pain, the aches, and then finally the death that comes to us all. The resurrected bodies of the saints will not suffer any of these or other forms of corruption. Their bodies shall be perfectly incorruptible. Incorruptible. And you can say that. This body of mine is corrupting, whatever I may do to it. And we ought to seek to keep our bodies as healthy as we can, not abusing it. It's easier said than done. But we ought to realize that this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we ought to care for this body. But in the best way that we care for our bodies, this body of ours is corruptible. But we read, or we can read from 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52 onwards. Let me read it to you. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And then he says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Do you see, dear friends, this body will be made perfectly incorruptible and immortal. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ paid for it. The Lord Jesus Christ paid a great price, not just for your soul, but for your body, so that it might be like unto his glorious body. So you are suffering, you're having sighs, and because of your aches, and you're taking all these pills. Somebody said to me, they're taking 22 pills on a Friday. Unbelievable. Just take things so that we might hold on together somehow. All these pills are like cement. And just we're all being kept. But praise God, one day, dear friends, these bodies of ours will be perfectly immortal. It will never die. It will never corrupt. Secondly, the saints' resurrected bodies will be perfectly glorious, reflecting the perfect beauty of heaven. Not the imperfect beauty of this sinful world. This sinful world has some beauty, some things that God has still left us with beautiful things, but even our bodies doesn't reflect that. And the most beautiful person, the most handsome individual, they will vanish, their beauty will be gone. But my dear friends, your body, if you're a Christian, will be gloriously perfectly glorious. Because what it will display, it will be the perfect beauty of heaven will be displayed in you. There'll be your body will be designed, prepared, glorified in such a way that it will be made for heaven. We could say right now, our body, it seems to be, has a stamp on it, made in earth. Because when you have been glorified, resurrected, it will have a stamp on it, made in heaven and made for heaven. It will not fall out of heaven. All types of imperfections are right now, you are witnesses of it in our sinful and fallen world. But none of those imperfections are found in heaven. The beauty of heaven and all those who walk there will be without spot, without wrinkle. Think about your mind right now. You think about the weaknesses of our minds. You think about the weaknesses that you day after day that you feel, and your nervous system that has been made to enjoy things, to respond to wonderful experiences, and yet what it has happened, it is responding to, and it's showing pain. Is constantly your nervous system is warning you. It's just and all the lights are red on your dashboard of your body. But my friends, it wasn't made for that. It is because of sins, corruptions, all the dashboard is red. And you try to fix different parts of it by different ways. And Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 40 that we read together. There are also celestial bodies. So there are heavenly bodies and bodies terrestrial, earthly bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. Can we really understand it? Raised in glory. But by the grace of God, if you're a child of God, that's exactly what you will experience. You will be raised in glory, radiating the glory of heaven itself. Let us move on to the third thing. The Christian's resurrected body will possess power to complete all their God-given tasks. Right now, your to-do list is not done. It can never be done. All the duties that as Christians we are to perform, it is left undone. We seek to do it, but we never finish it. These bodies of ours cannot sustain that kind of an activity. But in heaven, we will not suffer from weaknesses and tiredness. We will not suffer in that way. Right now, some of you are running on coffee. On all sorts of other things, just to keep you awake. And all sorts of things that we try to do. We try to have certain amount of sleep, and we feel it when we don't have it. There are these things that we suffer. these weaknesses and tiredness that we experience. But your resurrected bodies will have power to complete all of your God-given duties and tasks. In our sinful world, we experience frustration. Maybe you live your life every day. At the end of the day, it's been a frustrated day. Yes, you give thanks to God. Yes, you have rejoiced. Yes, He has given you His peace, which passes all understanding. Yes, all of those positives and promises of God that are yea and amen to you. Yet, as George Whitefield writing in his diary, at the end of the day, he was a frustrated man. And he experienced, and he spoke about his tiredness. Oh, if I was just had more strength to serve the Lord. If I was less worried, less anxious. If you read the life of John Bunyan, and you'd see that how all kinds of things were going. He was a very sensitive man. And his mind was affected with all sorts of pressures. The irritations that you and I experience. Easily getting annoyed. Praise God, in heaven, none of you will be annoying me, and I will not be annoying you. And also any other Christian, they will not annoy you. There'll be no rift. We'll be truly united. You right now need so much rest. But these will not be the experienced by those in heaven. Right now, the spirits of just men are made perfect, but their bodies aren't. But one day it will be. The saints shall no longer be hindered by any weaknesses in their service to the Lord. You will not be frustrated anymore in heaven. You will not be anxious. You will not be worried anymore. The devil will not be able to tempt you anymore. The devil will not be able to accuse you anymore. Some of us right now, we are going round and round in a circle, vicious circle. And we get ourselves worked up in some sort of a state. We all have been there to some degree, but not in heaven. Because the Lord will be there. He shall lead them and feed them. He will explain everything to you. You can converse with Him, call upon Him, hear His voice. You will follow Him then perfectly. We read in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 42 and 43. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power, it says. It is raised in power. And then fourthly, the Christian's resurrected bodies will be more spiritually oriented and not as physically or naturally inclined as we are in our earthly bodies at this present time. We'll be more spiritually oriented. Let me explain this. In this sinful world, you're tempted. All Christians are tempted. There's no Christian that is not tempted. And we frequently fall into sinful motives. We frequently fall into sinful thoughts and also things that we do, the actions. Why is that? Due to our old remaining sinful nature. That's why. And sometimes it is, you see it in people who have become very ill. I was talking to a pastor recently and he said, oh, my father, who himself was a very godly pastor, oh, he has said he has dementia. And I've seen things I've never seen. I've heard my father say certain things I've never heard him to say. And he's broken his heart. He's heard words that should have never been said from a mouth of a child of God. And yet this it shows that even in that situation, this his remaining sin, his sinful nature, has come up, has surfaced, showing how all of his life he was being kept by the grace of God. Every day, the Christian is kept by the grace of God. And if God's hand of grace was taken away from you, if certain illnesses were allowed to come into your life, you don't know what you would say, what you would do. And this pastor was brokenhearted over his own father. And he said, but one day, all of these things will be perfected. All of these things will be gone as well. The old nature will be gone altogether. This remaining sin will no longer be there. And I've used this illustration. The Puritans would use the term, it was the rags that still the Christian is carrying on. He's a saved man. But the rags of the old nature is still with him. The smell of the old past is still there. He's a new man in Jesus Christ. There's still this. It's like when you burn the carrots in your house. And the carrots, I find it's the worst kind of thing. That when you burn it, it takes a long time for it to, the smell to go. It's not the same with burnt toast. It's not the same with some other food that you might burn. But that's been my experience anyway. But it's an illustration of the Christian's life. You still have this old smell. And it's not nice. And at times it comes up. And you're ashamed of it. But one day it will all be taken away by the heavenly smell and the sweetness of heaven. Because you will be glorified. In heaven, this handicap shall not exist any longer. This old spiritual nature shall remain buried in the grave forever. All of these things that you are so upset about and at times angry about, it will be gone. Our new spiritual nature will perfectly control their total being in heaven. All will be completely subject to God's Spirit. There is no longer fighting. This thing that Paul cries out, "Oh, wretched man that I am." No one in heaven calls upon God like that. No one is frustrated in that way. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. We read in 1 Corinthians 15, 44. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such as are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Oh, dear friends, we one day shall bear the image of the heavenly. Can you really fathom it? Can you understand it? No one really can. But it is described in such a way in heaven. It's revealed by God to us so that we are constantly looking forward. So every time, every day, you have some sort of problem, some frustration of whatever kind it may be, this doctrine of the resurrection, it's a great encouragement to you. This is not going to be the same all the time. I won't be like this all the time. This believer who has upset me, who's offended me, they won't be like that forever. They'll be changed. I'll be changed. The Apostle Paul says, in all things we offend all. Dear friends, that won't be the case in heaven. There will be no offenses in heaven. So dear friends, here we are. I've tried to highlight some things that what your bodies will be like on that glorious day of resurrection, what the Christian will be like. But the sad thing is that for those who are not converted, the very opposite of these things that we've been talking about. Yes, your body, those who die in their sin, their bodies will be made immortal, but not glorified. Your bodies will be designed to exist only in hell. And we might touch on some of those things in future. But dear friends, here we are. The Lord speaks so wonderfully about what is going to take place. And the Christian, that is why he cries out to the Lord, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Amen.